But what about the Bible in our lives and how we interact on a spiritual level? Does God give us any hint on what to expect or how to relate to other people spiritually, doctrinally? Can you think of a passage of Scripture that would teach you that? Open your Bible to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at Acts chapter 17. You could write a title over the top of Acts chapter 17. It's the Tale of Two Cities. That's what Acts chapter 17 is, the Tale of Two Cities. Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul and his journeys, his evangelistic journeys. And, you know, he was a driven man. He evangelized the whole known world in his lifetime. And he had a very specific method of how he did that. You know, when Rome built its empire, they built roads all over the place. These Roman roads were something else. I guess they were 20 feet wide. They were cobblestone roads. They were like expressways. I mean, and Paul used these roads to travel through Malaysia and Greece, and he picked out the large trade cities. He didn't go to every city. The way he picked his cities was strategic. Like the cities we're going to look at today are Thessalonica and Berea, the Tale of Two Cities. Now we'll see how he passed by cities to get to Thessalonica, because Thessalonica was a hub city. It was very important. It was the capital city in one of the provinces of Rome, and it was a trade city. Paul picked out trade cities for a reason, because people from all over the world would come in on these trade cities on ships. They would use the Roman roads to bring them in from the interior to come to the trade cities and take product back out. And so when he evangelized a trade city, when people heard the gospel, they would take that gospel from the trade city and take it back home with them. And that helped him evangelize all of Asia by getting the message out like that. So look at Acts chapter 17. We're going to investigate these on whether there's a message to us on how we're supposed to act when we talk to people about spiritual things, about doctrine, and what we can expect from people when we do that. Now when they had passed through somebody pronounce that for me. Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, when Paul picked a city, he picked a city that had a synagogue in it. And he picked a city with a synagogue in it for a reason. A synagogue would have people in it that were already God-fearing people. They were accustomed to looking at Scripture, and they were God-fearing people. It was a ready audience for the message that Paul was taking to the world. They came to the synagogue in Thessalonica, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. So it was always Paul's manner, his custom, to go into the synagogues and start evangelizing there first. Now, Thessalonica was a very wealthy city, and both Berea was also, and they were about 75 miles apart. So Paul, as his manner was, went in unto him, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So we know that Paul was in Thessalonica for at least 3 weeks, because it was three Sabbath days that he went into the temple and reasoned with these people from the Scriptures. And what was he reasoning with them about? It says in verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this was that. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So Paul was preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection, but Peter was bringing an indictment of murder on the Jews in Acts chapter 2. Paul wasn't doing that here. Paul was introducing them to Jesus and explaining to them who Jesus was and that this was the Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ means Messiah. Jesus the Messiah is what Christ means. So Paul was explaining to them and showing to them from the scriptures like Isaiah chapter 53, Luke chapter 24 and 26 and 27, if you want to write that down, scriptures that show that Jesus is and was the Messiah. And the Bible says in verse 4, and some of them believed. So when we often read this passage of Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica, and you see what's going to happen here in a moment, you'll think that Paul was unsuccessful in his mission here because only some of the Jews believed. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul. When they believed, they hung out with Paul. Consorted, they were hanging out with him. They wanted to be around him a lot because he had a message they wanted to hear, and they hung out with him. They wanted to hear more. And they consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude believed, and of the chief women, not a few. So the Greeks here are Greek. They're not born Jewish people. They're Greeks that have come into the temple, into the Jewish religion. They would be proselytes. They have become Jews. They were in the temple because they have become Jews. They've become circumcised. They've become Jews in every respect, and they're Greeks within the temple, and they had a ready ear for what Paul was saying, more so than the Jews did, because only a few of the Jews believed, but a multitude of the Greeks believed in Thessalonica. A great multitude of the Greeks believed in Thessalonica. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the lesser sort, and gathered together a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, where they were having their meeting, and sought to bring them out to the people. So what happened was, these Jews that didn't believe what Paul was saying, you see, they wanted a heroic Messiah. They wanted a Messiah to come in and overthrow the Roman rule and bring the Jews in Jerusalem back into its prominent position in the world. And they didn't want to have a Messiah that died and hung on a cross. They wanted a victorious Messiah riding on a white stallion coming in to give them victory over the Romans. They couldn't see the big picture. So they rejected the Messiah, just like the Pharisees did in Jerusalem. Now, this passage right here, I think the Lord is teaching us how we should not react to put yourself in a position of sharing your doctrine of grace with somebody, and you're sharing it with religious people, and they react in a very negative way. They blow up at you. They start yelling at you. They dispute what you're saying. They throw you out of their church. They throw you out of their house. That's not how God wants us to react when somebody's bringing to us doctrine that is strange to us. Even to us, if somebody come in here and brought doctrine that was strange to us, we're not supposed to react in this negative way that the religious Jewish people did in Thessalonica. So how are we supposed to react? So it was so bad. They wanted to do harm to Paul and Silas, and the Christians, the believers in Thessalonica, had to spirit Paul and Silas away at night, get them out of the city, and they sent them to Berea, the second city, tale of two cities, Thessalonica and Berea. And Berea shows us how we should react. In verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. That was his custom. He went right into the synagogue in Berea. So now, when my studies, I learned that Thessalonica at this time was a large city. It was about 200,000 people. So to have a temple of Jews in a city, it had to be a large city for there to be enough Jews that were spread out by the persecution and different reasons had left the promised land into these Greek cities. There had to be a pocket of Jews enough to support the building of a temple. So the city had to be fairly large. So both Thessalonica and Berea were fairly large cities, but they were trade cities. In verse 11, he went into the synagogue. In verse 10, he went into the synagogue and he starts sharing the same message with them. And I believe after Paul showed these people who Christ was, he began to introduce them into the mystery doctrine. It's completely different doctrine to them. Doctrine with the Jews in Thessalonica had completely rejected. But these, in verse 11, these in Berea, the believers in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's a beautiful way of putting it. They were more noble. They were more generous than those in Thessalonica. How were they more noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. These people in Berea received what Paul was saying. They received the word of God that he was showing them with readiness of mind. They were eager to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And they searched the scriptures daily. Boy, there's a good one. That's, if you know, in our Christian churches in America, just about every evangelical church you go into, there's a group of believers that have a Sunday school class, and they call their class the Bereans. And it's usually the older Christians in the Sunday school class, and they call themselves Bereans. Why? Because the Bereans are more honorable, and they study the Word of God. They want to know the Word of God, and these people want to emulate them. So here it says they search the Scriptures daily. That's a challenge to us. You want to be like a Berean? You'll search the Scriptures daily. But what they were talking about here, you remember in Thessalonica? It was three Sabbaths that Paul went to the church in Thessalonica. He went on the Sabbath day for each week. 3 weeks he was in Thessalonica. But in Berea, it was daily. They were daily with Paul in the temple. They didn't want to wait until the next Sabbath day came around to hear what Paul had to say. They were eager to hear what he had to say. They said, Paul, come back tomorrow. Teach us in the temple tomorrow. And daily in the temple, Paul taught them these things about Christ. And they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So the Bereans were eager to hear what God said, but they weren't gullible. They, when Paul came in and started showing them things that they had never heard before, they didn't get mad. They didn't throw him out of their church. They didn't chase him out of the city. They listened to what he had to say. They were excited about what he had to say, but they didn't necessarily believe what he said until they searched the scriptures and verified that what the Apostle Paul was telling them was true. Amen. So they weren't gullible. So in your own life, as many of you were evangelical Christians in various denominational churches, and when you learned the doctrine of grace and the message of grace and the mystery program that Paul's bringing, that was completely different from you to you. And you had to search the scriptures, just like the Bereans did, to prove to yourself that this grace doctrine is true. Another thing I wanted to point out to you in the church of Thessalonica, you know, these people were that opposed Paul were religious people. And very often your greatest opponent to the grace doctrine is going to be a person that calls himself a believer, a denominational believer, will be your greatest opponent. That's pretty sad. But on the inverse side, in Berea, they could be your greatest ally. If they'll allow you to show them from Scripture what the grace doctrine is all about and allow themselves to see what Scripture says, they can become your greatest ally.
Just like you.
So in verse 11, they search the Scriptures daily whether those things were true. That's how we're supposed to act. When someone starts sharing these strange doctrines with us that we've never heard before, we search the Scripture and find out if it's true. So, you know, you may have a Seventh-day Adventist come to your door. I don't know if you've ever dealt with them before. But, you know, they want to show you in Scripture what they believe. So, you know, you've got to be able to counter that with your own knowledge of Scripture and what they're saying. That means you need to be searching your Scripture daily. You need to be arming yourself with Scripture. You need to understand where you can find these things in your Bible. You can't get that from a guy like me coming up here and showing it to you. You got to dig it out yourself. You got to get into the Word of God and study these things out and know what you believe and why you believe it. And be able to go into your Bible and see it and search the Scriptures and find it. That's what you got to do to be able to handle these kind of things. Okay, so that's how we're supposed to react. And so in Berea, verse 12, therefore many of them believed. In Thessalonica, only a few of the Jews believed. But in Berea, many of the Jews believed. They had a completely different attitude to things in Berea than they had in Thessalonica. So the way we're supposed to react is like the Bereans reacted when we hear these things, and how we're supposed to share these things in the same way with people. Does that make sense to you?
Perfect.
So showing you how great of an opposition these religious believers were to Apostle Paul is in verse 13. When the Jews in Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. So the Jews in the temple in Thessalonica who did not believe came to Berea and stirred up the people and started another riot, and which eventually ran Paul and Silas out of Berea, and they went to Athens after that. So, you know, that's what we can expect of people, the reaction that the religious people had in Thessalonica. You can expect that when you share doctrine with religious people. But you got to realize they're your greatest audience. You got someplace to start. They have a knowledge of God to work with. They have a knowledge of Scripture to work with. It's completely different than dealing with a totally unsaved person where you have to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. You got to get them saved. You got to start edifying them. You got to start teaching them. It takes a while to introduce this to them, you know. But with a religious person, all those first bases have already been covered, and you can start with the grace doctrine and showing them how this ties in. It was a new gospel given by Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul after the resurrection. You can show that to them. And many of them will believe if their heart is right. You find a Berean heart when you're talking to them, they will believe. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. That is my devotional that I was asked to bring to you. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jim, would you close us in prayer?